It's good to be here with you this morning. My name is Doug Clark, and I spend most of my time over at the old Jacksonville campus, but I'm responsible for leading Grace Community as the senior pastor, and today's a really cool day for us here at the University Boulevard campus. Super pumped about that. I'm super pumped about what God's doing in the midst of our church. I'm excited about what God's doing in the midst of this community particularly. Interesting, we are not good as a church at official things. We don't do well at like pomp and circumstance kind of things. But this morning, I'm going to hope that we can change that. If you're here for the first time, we're glad you're here. You need to get connected, and you can do that at the guest information desk in the Commons. You'll find out a little bit more about who we are as a church that way. You'll get to experience a little bit more of who we are as a church right now. And this opportunity that we have together today is just awesome as a body. We get to welcome, although we've welcomed already, but we get to do something that we're calling install Mike Tropea as our new University Boulevard campus pastor. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to invite Mike and Alexa to join me up front, and I'm also going to invite elders and their wives that are in the room to kind of circle around the back for just a minute, if you would. And we'll begin this morning of what it looks like to call and give a pastor to a church. Guys, welcome. We've already heard it before, but just introduce your family and what you're doing, where you've been, how are things going?
Wow. My name is Mike Tropea. This is my wife, Alexa. We have our 8-year-old daughter, Aurora, here, and excited to be on the ground with you officially starting today. It's been something we've been expectant for, we're excited to be a part of this.
That's awesome. Well, what I'm going to do today is ask you a series of questions, and then we want to pray for you. But first, we're going to start with this. Paul's charge to his mentee, his protege, Timothy, goes like this. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Now, one of the things about that passage is that it's pretty daunting. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And that it does kind of come to this place where it focuses a bit on teaching, although that's obviously not the only thing you do as a pastor. There are so many aspects of shepherding and leading that are related to that. But this morning, we're asking you to make some commitments about who you are as a leader, what that means for you and God, what that means for you and your family, what that means for you and the body. Okay? So here we go with some things we call the questions of confirmation, right? Mm-hmm. Mike, will you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength?
I will.
And will you love Alexa as Christ loved the church?
I will.
Will you love Aurora with the same fervor that God loves us?
I will.
And will you love this church and these people?
I will.
And will you love those in this community and around the world who are far from God?
I will.
Mike, will you abide with Christ?
I will.
Will you be devoted to personally being engaged in his word?
Absolutely.
And will you guard your heart?
Yes.
Will you walk and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And will you pastor by praying? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
By shepherding the flock?
Absolutely.
By preaching the word?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Leading the church?
Yes.
And seeking the lost?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Mike and Alexa, we're now going to surround you and pray. And if you would you please stand with us and join as we pray for them as they begin their ministry officially here together.
There he is.
Lord Jesus, we are grateful that you are our leader, ultimately. And the mantle of leadership is heavy. So I pray, God, as Mike and Alexa feel that, that you would be their burden bearer,
yes.
That you would raise up men and women from this church to support them in every way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that this body would commit to praying for their leadership as they shepherd this flock. Thank you, God, that you are faithful. Thank you that Mike and Alexa can trust you through every high and every low. Thank you that your spirit will empower them. And we pray that, God, that they would never seek to do in the flesh what only your spirit can do.
Father, we thank you so much for the Tropeas and for bringing them to us. And I just ask for a hedge of protection around them as the enemy will come to seek to kill and destroy. We ask that you would protect them, that you would keep their eyes focused on you. I pray for Mike that he would be following your footsteps as a servant leader, mm-hmm. that he would lead with humility and grace, but also with truth and with strength that only you can give.
Yeah, we are so grateful for the Tropeas. When we began this process a few months ago, we had no idea who you would bring here, but we are grateful for them, for bringing a family who truly loves you, who has been committed to ministry. And yeah, we just look forward to their commitment to this church. God, we look forward to the times we get to hear them preach, but even more importantly, the ways that we get to see them serve, tangibly being the feet and the hands of Jesus here. So God, help us to surround them with prayer, with encouragement. We pray that you just bring up men and women to speak into their lives, to encourage them, and just to help carry just the burden of this leadership that they're taking on. But we're excited for them, and we're grateful to you, Jesus, for bringing them to this church.
Father, we remember when we were trusting you for this next pastor and his family that you would send us. And we see your provision for us. And as a church, we say, thank you, God, for your kindness to us. And we realize, Father, we embrace our responsibility as a church, not just today, but to surround this family, to bless them, to look for ways we can pray for them and honor them and cover them. And we just bless this family, the Tropea family, in Jesus' name. And we receive from you, God, the grace to look for ways to be a blessing to this family that's come to serve us and to serve alongside us, God. We love them. We look forward to getting to know them. And we just say thank you, God, for your kindness to us.
Father, this is a sweet family you brought to us. We are already blessed. Those of us who've gotten to know them just can see their hearts and just know that they're here because you led them here, and you have great plans for them here. I just pray that your blessings would be upon them as a family, and help them just to be comfortable here and just to be authentic and be themselves. I just pray that they don't feel like they have a bunch, a thousand eyes looking at them, but they can just be who they are and just be a part of our family here, loved and loving each other. And just pray for Mike as he leads us here each Sunday. I just pray, Lord, that you would also help him to be authentic and transparent and just speak from his heart as you direct him, as you lead him, as you teach him, Lord. And I'm excited for him. I'm excited that they're a part of our family. And we just thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we're just grateful for your provision of your son, Jesus. It is him we proclaim. It is him that we serve. You lead us and we respond. And I pray, God, that as we do that together under Mike's leadership here, that you would bless the work of our kingdom building, that you would bring people who don't know you yet into this community to know you and to serve you and to grow. Thank you, Jesus, for that. that we can do this together. I pray that you would strengthen us with the resolve of the kingdom building mindset that you have for the church. Thank you so much for Mike and Alexa and Aurora. I pray, God, that you would welcome them into this community in a way that is powerful, that is warm, and that we would experience the beauty of that unity as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much. Awesome. Thank you guys. Mike, stay up here with me if you don't mind. You guys can all be seated. Thanks. Great stuff. A couple things come to mind. I was sitting here looking at this room, and nearly 60 years ago, the Grace Community Church started in a house that was just above the old Jacksonville campus. You've probably heard this story, but maybe many of you have not. And in that room, that afternoon or evening, there were about 26, 27 people, families, and they had a passion to know Jesus, but also to be connected to each other in a worshipful way through obedience, but passionate about the Word of God, wondering if the Word of God was really being preached in the way that it should have been preached in some areas in this community, which is probably true around the world, right? Mm-hmm. And so as they began to think about what that might look like, they became these people who were pioneers in a sense. They had a heart to see the Word of God preached, the body of Christ grow, community caring for one another, and to be engaged in the mission of the gospel. And they were really about that in every way. And that was an amazing thing. And the church began to grow, and there's a ton of history related to that, you know, or well, you will come to know, and you'll hear things that you wonder, did that really happen? And yes, some of it did happen. Some of it is legend. But in general, you know, the church began to become who it is today, and it did take a while. In about 2001, the church decided that the way it was going to express itself as a church and to lead out in its mission was to become a multi-site. And that wasn't some form of government or anything like that. That was just a way we were going to do church. And that multi-site idea came to fruition right here, not in this room, but in the gym next door. And another group of pioneers, 40 years later, after the first group, decided to come to this campus. I was wondering if you don't mind, I see a few of you in here. If you were part of that initial pioneering group that went from OJ to here, would you mind standing up? Yeah. Yeah, definitely seems like they're all to the right. Very... very conservative people. No, just kidding. But you know, I'm standing up here today just grateful to God that we have the representation of what has always been as an elder in Fred, and then new elders like Robbie standing here, and those who've been established like Jeff who there, and just the good things that God's done in the midst of that. In 2001 and 2002, those people came here, and because of the success and the launch, the leading of the Holy Spirit, we launched a campus in Athens in 2003, in Lyndale in 2005, and Grace Espanol in 2016. And we're going to continue to reach people with the message of the gospel. All of that being done and praising God because of what he did through the people of this church, who were committed to the Word of God. And so, Mike, today you take that responsibility to pastor this campus, the elders and the staff and myself. Man, we're confident that God has brought us the right person. We're confident that he has prepared you and your family well. We're confident that you will do what God's called you to do here. And grateful that you're willing to accept that charge. And I know that as you stay connected to two vital lifelines, you will be successful as long as we determine and define success by the way God defines it, right?
Yeah.
And those two lifelines are super important. And we've talked about one already a lot, but the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, in 1 Timothy, again, Paul talking to his protege and mentee Timothy, he says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of good doctrine that you have followed. In the Word of God. It's everything it is, right? It's available to equip you and to equip these people and to equip all of us for the work that God has designed for us to do. My God has started a good work in you. Philippians 4 tells us that, Philippians 2 tells us that that's true. I think it's Philippians 1. Did I start with 4? I think we got to Philippians 1, right? Yeah, I was a little ahead of myself there, right? But this work that the Holy Spirit has begun in you, he will continue, right? As long as you stay connected to his word. One of the things that I wanted to present you is something you probably already have used many of these. This particular journal comes from India. Street women in India make these from things they find on the road in the city, and then they produce them. And a journal by itself is just something to write in. But as God teaches you about who he is, there's no better way to kind of apply that to our lives, allow the circumstances and the situations of our lives to be read through the grid of the scripture than being able to document that stuff in a journal of some sort. And so while you're going to be tempted, just like all of us who preach regularly are tempted, to spend most of your time in the Word preparing your message, thinking about how you're going to teach something. Let me just remind you that if you don't preach the message God has for you or for the church first to yourself, it really isn't the message. And one of the ways that will help you do that is to just document that. The second thing that is absolutely vital is prayer. In fact, in 2 weeks, you'll actually be preaching your first sermon here, right? Yep. We've got the celebration of the Mayflower Church, the Chinese church that's come next week. But I think the passage is related to the end of James. It's the final one in the series. We're going to be talking about prayer. And in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. The earnest prayer, your earnest prayer, is vital for not only your own personal advancement in the kingdom and the growth of your own personal discipleship, but so that the church can stay focused on what it's been called to do. Nothing spiritual happens apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has called us as people, mere mortals, to call down his glorious, eternal power into the moment, into every moment in your life and every moment in the life of the church. And so I give you this kneeler that I pray you will spend hours upon. It's an opportunity for you to be reminded that that in your own strength, this is going nowhere. But in the power of God, it goes where God wants it to go. We are so encouraged to have you here and so excited for what God's going to do. Thank you, Mike. I'll carry this back.
I was going to say, there's going to be a lot I'm carrying. Well, good morning. I have been waiting for this moment for a while. I'm just expectant, and I want to, before I respond to what my hopes are for us as a community, I just want to just take a moment to say how grateful I am. Grateful to God for bringing this process to be grateful to Doug and Vicky, to the elders and the spouses. Grateful to you all for welcoming us here through the many meals that have been brought to us to this point. I probably have had more Tex-Mex in 3 weeks than I have in 36 years of my life. I'm finding out, trying to understand what kolaches actually are. And my definition of camp has drastically increased from my previous definition as I understand the subculture that is summer camp here. But we have been welcomed in by you and are truly humbled to just walk with you as we walk as a community of faith here at Grace Community UB. And over these past few weeks, we have been going around to the different campuses. We went to the OJ campus in Grace Espanol 2 weeks ago, last week in Lindale. And it's great to see God moving in different pockets of Grace Community at large. But I'm excited to be here. And so during our time 2 weeks ago, we were attending the Grace OJ campus. And through the gauntlet of being introduced four times that Sunday in a three-hour period, there's something that stood out to me. Doug got up in front of the OJ campus and said, "Hey, I feel convicted. We haven't prayed the Lord's Prayer together as a community of faith in a long time." And you see, something hit me when that was read that Sunday morning. And just like many of you, I'm sure you've read it. You know it in and out. And I do too, because my background growing up in upstate New York. When I say upstate New York, don't think city. Think small city, rural farms, lakes, things like that. So I'm not from the city. But I grew up in a suburb of Syracuse called Solvay. And it was a little Italian community. And at the center of the Italian community was the Catholic Church. So being Italian and being a part of that community, I was indoctrinated into the Catholic Church, just born into it, basically. And we repeated the Lord's Prayer ad nauseum, over and over again. And so from 8 years old and going to confession multiple times, I had 16 Our Fathers, 17 Hail Marys, and to go through the whole process, right? And then I was punished a lot as a kid, so my mom made me write down 500 times often the Lord's Prayer. It's not a way you want to learn things, but it's a way that I got it in my head and my heart, right? But so I know this prayer in and out. I'm just like many of you. But something about when Doug read it that day hit my heart in a way that I just had to unpack more. And so the next day, after Doug shared that at the OJ campus, I brought it to the staff meeting, the UB staff meeting. And I said, I want to start things off. It was my first staff meeting. I want to start things off with the foundation of everything we do is bathed in prayer. And so what I did is I read Matthew 6, 9 through 13, and we read it together as a staff. And I read it slowly, and they were probably like, why are you reading it so slow? But I wanted it to hit our hearts. I wanted us to slow down and focus on the words of that prayer. And so today, I want to respond to Doug's charge in just that way, where we read this prayer, because I believe Jesus puts this prayer out there, not as just a posture of prayer, but a prayer that's meant to be lived. And so I want to respond today to that charge through the Lord's Prayer. So if you will open your Bibles with me to Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. It'll be on the screens for us too. It says this. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So take that first line, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This reality that Jesus is placing out of the gate is a reality of acknowledging relationship with a God, a Father, a relational connection that we can have with a Father. And it's also acknowledging our placement in relation to God. So not just Father and relational, but Him being Lord above us, and we are to submit to that reality. That word hallowed is a reference to
to acknowledge that he is Lord and we should worship him wholeheartedly with reverence for who he truly is in himself. You see, UB family, the aim of my heart as we lead, and I believe and I hope that it's our heart here, is that we acknowledge the glory and the beauty of God first and foremost above anything else that we do. That we are a people that pursue truth with intention, that hold the realities of this word sacredly, that we have been welcomed into a story, that we can know a God who's made himself available to us. And we find the true beauty of the time we get together is to look and turn our eyes and affections on this great God. To be a people that love God authentically, rawly, honestly, for who he is and what he has done, not just what he gives. To get lost in the beauty of that truth. The second phrase of that prayer is this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I was driving over these past couple weeks, I was driving to meet with one of the elders. And quick side note, I've just been humbled to just meet all the different elders and spouses. And you got some great men leading you who love Jesus, love his church, and love you and seeing what he's doing here, want to protect it. And so I just wanted to put that before you. I'm sure you already know that, but I just want to honor where honor is due. And so as I was driving to meet with one of the elders in the morning, I was just praying, because this is I do know wholeheartedly that this is a heaviness to leading, but I don't take it for granted by any stretch of the means. And so what I was doing when I was driving, as I was praying, and I said this: Lord, help me to lead them. Help me to lead them. And I was instantly convicted in my heart. And it's a very simple prayer. You wouldn't think anything's wrong with that. But what I felt in saying that prayer was this: God's the one leading you. I'm just a steward of coming on board to that reality. And that's really the posture of all of us in this room. It's his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we all have a role in that reality. It's not the programs we want to see because we want them certain ways. It's not the ways we think things on Sunday morning or this community side of things is to play out. It's God's will for each of these realities to play out. And we are just coming on board to that reality. And so my heart in leading you is to get out of the way, to let the word shine through, to see stories like Clayton's, God transforming lives. What beautiful story. And we get to be active participants in that story, not dictators of that story, active participants laying all our giftings on the table and saying, hey, God, how can we best steward the church you have placed us in at this moment? His kingdom come, his will be done. And we get to see stories like Clayton's, and I'm sure there's going to be many more that he is transforming. We are coming around and stewarding alongside that. But I celebrate the beauty and the story of Clayton and many more lives, seeing them baptized. And so the first core reality between our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. What does that whole reality speak to? Worship. Our first core value as a church is worship. And so from that point, we can then continue to be a church family who follows his will. The next line is this: give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. A church, I desire, and my hope is that we are a church who is honest and authentic with God for our daily needs. And what are our daily needs? Not just our physical needs, but where are we mentally? Where are we spiritually? Where are we physically? That we can lay these before God, but before one another. Church, I believe that the church is a place that the messy is allowed, but we don't we assist people to not stay there. That we can be a church that is honest, real, because I don't mean to be a downer, but life is hard. Parenting is hard. Community is hard. But the beauty of it is what unites us. Christ himself will build our community as we pursue him. And so my desire is for us to be a family that pursues wholeness in Christ in our day-to-day through knowing and submitting to his word, and one that pursues reconciliations with one another. But it doesn't just stay among us. The beauty is that when we worship God and we live in community that's loving and forgiving, what happens? Our hearts should turn outwards to say, how can we share this reality with others? How can we bring people into our homes, around our dinner tables, and just let them be, but also love them for who God's made them in his image? They just don't know it yet. You see, I believe that is the church. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We dispense this story to others. We bring this reality to light, and many more will come to know him through our sharing of the word and sharing of our testimonies and stories. And those are the last two specific core values of community and mission. And so you see, as we love God, as we pursue his will for our church family, as we be community with one another and we get involved in the mess of other people's, one another's lives, and we intentionally pursue others with the story of the gospel, I believe wholeheartedly that that last line of the Lord's Prayer, God will keep us from, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The thing, as we live out God's design, God's way, we will desire less and less of the things of this world, and God will protect us from becoming like the evil of this world by his Spirit. And church, I know that what I'm saying is a lofty goal, is a lofty jump, but I believe the God that pursues us, I believe in the God of this Bible who he points to, I believe that's his desire for the church at large. Isn't it? The reality is that we have been welcomed into a story that we didn't deserve because we chose sin and death. Jesus Christ came, died, paid for our mess, which we rightly deserve to be separated from the Father. He took on what we should have taken on. And he didn't just abandon us and say, good luck. He put his Holy Spirit into us so that now we can live in the reality of dispensing this news to the world, pushing back darkness as we continue to build out his kingdom, his way, and his design. I'm excited to run with you. I'm excited to open up the word week in and week out. I'm excited to know your stories, but I'm excited to see what God does in our midst, so that people far from him can know him, that community can be built, and we can become worshipers in spirit and in truth. And my call to you is I'm asking you to be a part of that with me. I'm invited into your story. We're married together. We're married together now. But I am just so humbled to be a part and to come into this story here. I'm just asking that we be on board together as we pursue this great God as a UB family. I'll invite the worship team to come on out. We're gonna worship a little bit more, but I just wanna pray in closing. I wanna pray that we continue to venture together in a beautiful way, and that God's name continues to be made famous in Tyler and beyond. Let's pray. God, we thank you. I am just humbled beyond words, God, to be able to get to know this church family, to be able to open your word and to share these realities that I have no right in sharing, but by your grace through Jesus Christ, I can. That's a sobering reality, a humbling reality that I just praise you for. And God, I pray that for us as a church family, we worship you first and foremost, knowing that it's by your power and your power alone that we can accomplish the things that are ahead. We glorify you for the things that you have done, the beautiful history. You've given Grace Community, Grace UB, and we thank you for those things. But I'm excited for the work you want to do today and to the days you give us ahead. God, transforms lives as you will it. Design things as you have designed it. Use us as stewards of this great news in ways that we can only dream of. Thank you for inviting us in, inviting us back because of your Son. Holy Spirit, empower us in new and deeper ways as we continue to glorify you. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.